Hey, everybody, there's a couple of people we want to thank for supporting us at patreon.com/comicbookclub this month. Kick it off, Pete.
Aaron C. Hollis.
Adam Marks.
Adriel Moreland.
Amanda Harris.
Amy Gonzalez.
Andrew Tillman.
Benjamin Brown.
Brett Macris.
Chelsea Mack.
Chris Leatherman.
Clemens Soil Lower.
Corbidorby Doodle.
Curtis LaRock.
D-Man Ryan.
Dan Snow.
Danny Heck.
Danny Ollie.
Dennis Scott.
Dustin Remy.
Eduardo Martinez.
Aaron Dorian.
Jeffrey Risher.
Gerard DeVillier.
James Connolly.
Jason Williams.
Jessica Ashcraft.
Joe Crack.
John George.
Jonathan Jong.
Joseph Kelly.
Joshua W. Bronson.
Kalen Swift.
Karen Comstock.
Catherine Anderson,
Kendall Wilson,
Kevin Grimes,
Kevin Kleinrock,
Kieran Broderick,
Lee Brown,
Luana Thomas,
Luke Asink,
Mark Carrillo,
Mark Kiefer,
Mark Seller,
Megan Thigpen,
Michael Sturgeon,
Mike D'Argenio,
Mitchell McDonald,
Nick Broughton,
Nick Grayson,
Abdia Solart,
Paul Collars,
Perry Taliaferro,
Pip Pete 2020,
Primetime Paulie G,
Rahadian Sastrowardio,
Tamela Rush,
The 12 Bench,
Thiago Nascimento,
Victor Perez,
W. Blaine,
Wally D. Librarian,
Will Buchanan,
Zika's Viral Comics.
We get louder as we say those names.
Yeah, and thank you all for listening, and now enjoy the live show.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex. And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
Feeling I'm particularly excited about this show.
Oh, yes. Really?
I'm excited about the show because we have a guest on.
We do have a guest.
We usually have a guest.
And we owe this person a favor.
Right. So we had this guest. We'll introduce him officially in a moment.
Yes.
But he was on for the last show we did in 2019, right?
That's right. Which was our anniversary show, surprisingly, because we've been doing this show for
14 years.
So many years.
Yeah. So that didn't get taped properly, so we're doing a do-over of that show. The reason I'm very excited is I wasn't there for that show.
That's right, and that's why you will remain silent this entire show. Because we are redoing the show exactly.
Exactly.
We are meticulous, except for this part right here, which is new, obviously.
Right, sure. This is like a bonus introduction.
It's a bonus introduction. Yes. We're going to drop into the original one. And as we know, you weren't here, so you wouldn't be here. And Pete, as always, is facing me rather than the audience.
Yep.
The little bit of the stage.
Hey, JT Sizzle, how are you?
I'm good. Oh, man, we got a fun show tonight. Yeah. It's December. Christmas is coming. That's what we talked about. Christmas.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it was before Christmas.
Oh, right. I remember now.
Yeah. And 2020 is going to be awesome. The Iowa caucuses are going to go great.
Super smooth.
That's it. We said a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you have a script? Like, I could jump in on somebody's lines or something.
Yeah, you could.
Or I could just be on lines.
Yeah, why don't you? We'll call for line when we need it. You can play some of the smaller characters.
Oh, okay.
A lot of townspeople interrupted us during the show.
Boy, you got any weight.
Yeah. There was the orphan character. Yep. Very good.
Shine your shoes. They were all kind of the same character.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Coughed right in the microphone.
That's my character with TB.
Nice. A lot of old-timey characters.
Kind of old-timey characters.
Oh, that's really... wow. I think what if you're dying because you weren't here?
God. Yeah, am I just going to fade out?
Back to the Future.
It's like Back to the Future.
Should we welcome out our guest?
Let's welcome out.
He is a friend of the show. We're very excited to have him here. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Wallace!
Yeah!
Bob, welcome back. Yay! Microphone.
What about Bob?
Great to see you.
Thank you so much for being here, Bob.
Thank you for having me, Pete and Justin.
That's good.
Just read the cue cards if you get lost.
This is going to be difficult for me.
Yeah, to ignore me.
Yeah.
I know. I'm a big presence on the show.
That's true. It's a sweet presence.
Oh, thank
you. He's a real sweetie.
I do want to know, we, of course, apologize for whatever these two dumb shits did about the show.
That's okay.
What did you talk about? Can we review some topics from the previous show, see if there's anything we need to recover?
Yeah. Well, I think since the last time I had been on, I learned how to, print and assemble my own comic. I'm like sort of self-publishing now.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So, yeah. And we kind of talked about that a lot. I've been printing at the Rizzo Lab here in New York. It's at the School of
Frank
Visual
Rizzo?
Arts. Hey, Frank Rizzo. Some people nice. Say Rizzo, and I...
That seems wrong. Oh.
I don't know. But it's a
like
kind
the
of...
Like the Rizzo Skywalker?
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Rise.
Wow. The Rise of Skywalker. As they say in Dublin.
Yep.
The Rise of Skywalker was a piece of shite.
That is how we convinced my grandmother to go with us on Christmas night.
Oh, see, this is new content. We wouldn't have had
this.
This
is new content. You know, believe it or not, she fell asleep halfway through the movie that was not really to her liking. A movie that was not she was
that
not
is,
on board with.
I gotta say, even if you're not on board, that's a hard movie to fall asleep to
because it's so loud and chaotic. Yeah. Well, when she woke up during one of the many Return of the King style endings,
yes, the harshest takedown you could ever do.
She woke up and was like, saw that the film was still playing, and said, "Come on, people."
Wow.
And the two two kids sitting in front of us turned around, and one of them looked at me.
Wow, looked at you
like he was going
right in
like,
the face,
yo,
right at me.
Youths,
and he was like,
days.
"Fix this situation."
I know the nerve, right? The assumptions. It's like if you only knew the power. When I was a kid, my grandmother and I watched the movie Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, you know your grandmother gets it.
She does get it. She's like not averse to genre fiction. She's just discriminating.
Yes, but and how did she like MK1?
So she was kind
it's
of
a
on
solid
board.
Film.
She was kind of on board up until the part where Goro and Johnny Cage are fighting out on the cliff.
Yeah,
and Johnny Cage delivers his line, "Hey, those were $500 sunglasses, asshole." Right before he delivers his move. She, at this point, lost interest in the film, reading a book, looks up from the book.
She must have killer eyesight.
Just to check, was she reading the novelization of Mortal Kombat, the movie?
Yeah.
No joke, I had read that at that point. Like, I was so down into it. Yeah, I had that. But she looked up from the book and said, $500 sunglasses. Who's the asshole?
Mm-hmm. Wow, yo, she has withering criticism.
That's
right.
That's a solid.
And
bit.
The crazy thing, this doesn't happen with every copy of Mortal Kombat, but Johnny Cage Turner is like, oh my god,
he got
straight out, like Jesus,
he's
Grandma,
like Grandma Wallace.
Yeah, the color
heart.
Drain from his face. He doesn't do the signature move in this VHS copy. He just puts his. He takes his bandana off and he just leaves. Goro wins in this version.
That's crazy.
Wow, that's horrible.
I do have a question about
and your grandmother shouted, fatality, after she said that, right?
I do have a question about the novelization of Mortal Kombat, the movie.
Uh-huh.
Does it have the same ending line as the movie?
Which is?
So the ending line of the movie is like the cloud pops out because the other world has started to attack them again. And the last line of the movie is, I think it's Christopher Lambert saying, here we go again. And then the movie ends.
That's how all movies should end.
Here we go again.
Well, in Return of the King, I feel like they should have found at the very end, after all the celebration, like Frodo should have popped up and with another ring and been,
here we go again. Exactly. That's the only way out.
So does the novel end that way?
The novel ends with, actually, your description was accurate because the novel ends with the line, and then the movie ends.
The novel ends with the line, please go read a better book. The novel ends with, like, if you like this, you're going to love the video game Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
My favorite chapter of any novelization of movie is the first chapter, which is always the FBI warning.
Yes.
Indeed.
Don't copy this.
And in this case, the FBI warning is played by Jax and Sonya. They're actually right in the movie.
Nice.
That's chasing incredible. Down, I think that they're chasing down bootleg VHSs in the beginning when you first catch up with them.
Who was Sonya? Was that Natasha Kinski or
Sonya
something
Blade?
Like that?
Oh, gee, what do you think?
I don't know.
No, I don't remember this actor's name. She was also in Billy Madison as
his
teacher.
Yeah, the teacher. Same actress. Yep.
And I thought everyone in Mortal Kombat was compelling as, like, they're good. I don't know. They know, I think, that they're in this video game movie, mm-hmm. and everyone's doing their best. Mm-hmm. But, like, certain people are really going for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a fun movie. The second one has those great hamster balls that go through the earth mm-hmm. that are very cool. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 2, Justin?
Not interested.
No?
But I wasn't allowed to play that game because it was too violent. And so I didn't get the oeuvre.
Wow.
I really was not bored with the...
You weren't allowed to play Mortal Kombat?
You didn't really understand
the... skeletons out of people's bodies.
Yeah, it's pretty violent.
Yeah, that's real life, man.
We didn't... What's that?
That's real life,
that's human life. I wasn't allowed to eat sugar cereal.
Oh, yeah.
Watch G.I.
Right.
Joe.
You said, oh, the G.I. Joe hurts hard, man.
Yeah. They were literally shooting.
You didn't
each
learn
other.
Any of the life lessons. Like, they did a lot of life lessons.
Like the
that
drug
show.
Wars, that's where they teamed sharing. Up to fight against drugs. Cobra and Joe team up to fight the bigger enemy, drugs. Yeah.
That's why I spent so many years as a drug addict.
Yeah.
Because the Joes didn't.
Yeah. And that's why Pete has an excellent Cobra at his job.
That's right.
That's right.
Wow. Connecting Cobra, his health insurance.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, the Cobra, little known fact, is actually a health insurance company.
You know, when I worked at a job and they said we offer Cobra because of my allegiance to G.I. Joe, I said I won't accept
nope.
it.
Oh,
really?
I didn't trust it.
You didn't trust it because it had a name Cobra.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's for fair. Years, I turned down free health insurance.
It's not free, and you should definitely do some more research. I bet Cobra, the organization, has better health insurance than Cobra, the health insurance policy. Yeah.
Instead, Pete took a job at a place that had health insurance provided by Decepticons. Yeah. Let's talk about your comics, Bob. So, Sled or Die is the one that I can see up here.
Sled or Die. Yes, Sled or Die is the story of 8-year-old North, and she is a sort of like sledding... obsessive. She loves sledding. She just thinks about it all the time. And she drinks coffee constantly. She loves coffee and sledding. Mm. And in this fictional world called Old New England, the hill...
Old New England.
Yeah.
Okay.
The hill that they're all racing on is this sort of coveted spot. And in order to determine who gets first dibs on the hill, they have a race during the first snowfall.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
But this year, there's a bit of cause for concern because it is revealed that the hill itself is actually an overgrown, ancient, alien spacecraft.
Whoa!
Oh, man.
And some of those aliens have come back, and they want...
To sled?
Well, we'll find out.
Whoa, wow. Good tease.
Do they want to die?
Who can say? I'm not one for spoilers.
Yes. Right.
Smart.
Where can people pick this up, though? When you're publishing stuff like this, where are you distributing it at this point?
I, like a lot of cartoonists that are going the self-publishing route, use a service called Big Cartel, which is just kind of a way for you to digitally make...
It's a drug cartel.
Yeah, another thing like Cobra.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. No further questions.
but it's like my name, bobwallace.bigcartel.com, and it's a way to buy mini comics directly from me.
Oh, okay.
But what's nice is like... for using that platform, you have to store some packages at your apartment.
I do, which is already a pretty limited space. I know a lot of the audience lives in New York. It's tiny, tiny apartments. Am I right, guys?
Wow. Woo! Okay, yeah.
Woo!
You get me!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, out of control.
Have you seen that Friend's apartment, though?
I know.
It's too big.
Unrealistic.
Nah, that's I live in the Friend's apartment.
Friend's apartment.
Seems normal to me. I'm very good friends with the people across the hall.
It's,
and there's an ugly naked man who lives across the street.
Oh, okay.
For a few seasons.
The Friend's apartment would make sense if it were under bag of holding rules or whatever. You know, like the massive or TARDIS rules.
Oh, that would be so
humongous
much
fun. On the inside, relatively diminutive on the outside.
How great would that have been if they had Friends and then people come into the apartment and they were like, wow, this is bigger on the inside. And then they looked at the camera and they're like, Doctor Who.
Yep. Or if it were like House of Leaves and it's just like this ominous sense of dread that permeates the whole show.
Sure.
Like, imagine David Lynch directing an episode or two of Friends. No laugh track or intermittent laugh track at all the wrong times.
Yeah, bad. Nice.
Or Cronenberg and like some shit is crawling out of them.
Yeah, like the, somebody's got, oh, I can't open my Diet Dr. Pepper. Oh, and then like just a very realistic prosthetic of like a maimed penis. Hand. Like it's close up.
Yeah.
Thrown well, in there.
Joey got his head stuck in a turkey. Maybe, oh, yeah, that maybe was Cronenberg directed that episode. Yeah, body so. Horror.
Pete, what's your favorite episode of Friends?
The one with Ross.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good one.
A lot of options
choice.
There.
That's a great
Who's
choice.
Your favorite friend? Is it Ross?
No.
Oh, okay. No more questions. Yeah. let's go down the line. Obviously, who's your favorite friend?
My favorite friend?
Yeah.
Gunther.
Oh, cool. Great answer. What a fun life you have. what about you, Bob?
Balky.
Mm, yes, he is the funniest one.
Mm-hmm. He's good. Wait, did you answer? What's your favorite friend?
My favorite friend is Joey. He's the only one who, throughout the entire series, didn't become horrible.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, then that's why you like the spinoff, right?
Yes, Joey. I definitely watched every episode of Joey, the spinoff of The Friends.
Sure. And episodes, did you watch every episode of that?
No, after that, definitely, because that's how it works. Great. If you like one thing, you have to do it, consume it until you hate it.
Man with a Plan? Did you watch Man with a Plan?
Yeah. Is he in that?
I don't know. I can't. He's at one of those CBS sitcoms.
Yeah.
So definitely, on that note, pick up Bob's stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you can pick it up at Bob Wallace, which is spelt unusually, WALLES.BigCartel.com.
All right. Very cool. And we are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call Pete's Arrow Corner.
Whoa. What?
Is this really happening?
So, normally at this point we do the stack, but we didn't have time today. We didn't have time for the stack.
No time. Stack, ironically.
Because the final episode of Arrow aired on the CW. For years, we have been consistently and legitimately running out of time to talk about Arrow.
Yeah, those were all, like, I know a lot of people think it's like we're something we're doing like to like make Pete angry or something. No, we just never have had time. The scheduling on this show is crazy.
Off the show, when we're not taping the podcast, Justin and I are constantly talking about Arrow to
and
each
we're
other.
So apologetic to Pete all the time about the fact that we had to move past this section that is like one of, I think, four sections that Pete exclusively handles. Because Pete has a series of his own sections. We just go and we're a company, man.
Now, the funny thing is that we've never gotten to do this section. We've never gotten to do Pete's Arrow Corner, so people probably don't know. This is actually a quiz as well.
Yeah, exactly. Pete asks questions of Arrow to himself and then silently answers them.
Yeah. Was that cool on Arrow when that happened? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
It's a really fun section.
So,
and the big section of Pete's Arrow Corner is actually Justin's Arrow Corner, where he talks about archery.
Yeah. Let's kick it off with that. Justin's Arrow Corner, talking about archery. What is your favorite type of bow to use, Justin?
I like the ones that are like stretchy and then there's string. God. You know what I mean?
Oh, come like on, dude. Gummy bows?
Yeah. Well, no, because a bow, like Donatello has a bow.
Sure. Right.
But that's a staff.
Right.
And so
right.
What you want is this bendy one, so then you can shoot the arrow.
This is too painful.
I do have a question. Bob, did you watch Arrow?
I did not actually.
It was on for a while.
I know. I'm
one app. You didn't tune in for one app.
I didn't. I kind of skipped Arrow, Flash, that whole era of stuff.
Sure.
I am hearing good things about Batwoman, and that makes me want to get involved.
Nice.
Get involved. Yeah. Take action.
For a very quick second. Involved. When you said the elongated B at the beginning of that, I thought you were going to say, I've heard good things about Balky.
Yeah, he's
or Bosch.
Breakout star of Perfect Strangers character. Yeah. I shouldn't say star. That the Lot actor's the name.
Yeah, no, that's
lost
not
lost the time.
That's no one knows his name. No one has his name has been, as you said, lost to time.
It's one of these things where you pick up the internet and you don't realize you lose information.
Yeah.
Oh fuck.
Were you a fan of Green Arrow, though, the comic book character?
Yeah, I think I was, obviously a big fan of the legendary Green Arrow, Green Lantern team-up, the controversial 70s, 80s.
Drugs.
Like, it's about any comic that deals with drugs, like I've read over and over and over again. Yep. And that's where my familiarity with the Green Arrow begins and ends, unfortunately, besides appearances in Injustice and stuff.
Right.
Okay.
And I guess from what I'm hearing, Green Arrow is the Arrow in the TV show Arrow.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure. I would say, though, that since Bob hasn't really seen the show, we probably shouldn't talk about Arrow.
Oh, don't. No, come on. This is like my window into a whole universe.
We don't have.
All right. I guess, you know what? We've set aside some time.
Good.
So
let's start talking about it. Talbot, I know you've seen it.
Walk us through from the beginning, including the commercial breaks.
Yes. So the CW logo plays, at that point, was it the WB logo?
It's
the DC logo.
Was Michigan J-Frog there or not?
It was a long time ago. The show's been on for a long time.
So the frog's like, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal.
And when anybody else turns around, the frog pretends to be a frog.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And in between
we are burning through time.
Yeah, come on, man. So we've seen it. The last episode, also the last season. A little controversial because...
because they aired the last episode during the final season?
No, I was really going to say, because it was kind of like the season before was his send-off, and then they did the next
season.
Can we fucking talk about it?
Okay, I really want to prolong this bit, though. I feel like it's the end of an era for this bit, Pete. Yeah,
so, it is sad, because when we lose Arrow, we lose the Arrow bit. Corner.
Yeah. So if we could actually talk about it for a little bit, that'd be great.
Just one last question real quick. When this is over,
start punching people.
Is there another show that you love that we can make horrible? Like, we can
really
ruin for
you about.
We can just, like, for the entire run of it, really get after you about it.
Yeah. What do you watch? Like Young and the Restless or something?
Or even something just in your life that you like that we can really drag to the mud.
Sandwiches?
Yeah, you've already ruined Subway sandwiches for
me.
We'll have the Hawkeye show soon. And that'll sort of be the Arrow surrogate, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
The same thing, right? Do you want to talk about Hawkeye instead?
Yeah, let's talk about Hawkeye.
All right. What's going on with Jeremy Renner?
Okay, so...
what's his deal?
It's going to be half about solving local, like, crimes and discrepancies in the community, and the other half is going to be about how to flip houses.
Exactly. Thank you for getting Renner. Also, wouldn't it be great if we got to see a show where half the time it was him like, I'm Hawkeye, I'm in the Marvel Universe, and the other half was like, I'm also Jeremy Renner, and I also have this other life. Where there was just no pretense between the...
So it's sort of like an episodes type show.
That's
except
right. I'm pitching episodes.
I also hope he gets into making his own beef jerky.
He already did. Wait, he doesn't make it, right? He sells Jack Link's beef jerky or something like that?
He resells opened containers of Jack Link's beef jerky. He's taking some bites out of it.
We were talking earlier about how Vin Diesel has a different microphone in every room of his house to play karaoke. Probably the same thing with Jeremy Renner, but sacks of beef jerky.
You know, the more I hear about what Vin Diesel is like off screen with karaoke, Dungeons & Dragons... Vin, if you're listening, let's hang out. You can directly get in touch with me via my Big Cartel online shop.
Nice. Cool.
This is very weird. We pre-tape this podcast and then put it up later, but Vin Diesel is actually calling me now.
No, get out of here.
Here he is.
Oh, come on.
Come on out, Vin.
Come on out,
And that's all the time we have for Arrow.
No, man.
Let's talk about
cliffhanger.
It.
Cliffhanger.
I still kind of want to prolong this a little bit.
Come on.
So now, it's all been building up to this. We told you back 8 years ago that we were going to let you do Arrow Corner only at the very end. So you must have prepared a very intense speech or monologue.
I do have.
Okay, great. Yes. Then please. This is sort of like
this is
like a wedding toast. This is like
you got to stand up for this.
This is your Gettysburg address.
Okay, great. So,
why are you facing us?
Face the audience.
I'm never facing the audience. So I just think that Arrow was one of the shows that started other shows, you know, so it's an important part of like other shows being successful. Like, you couldn't have had DC's Legends of Tomorrow without Arrow, you know, so like there's a lot of things that like Arrow, like, not only led the way, but also made it okay for other shows. So I'm sad to see this show go that was a staple, that did such an amazing job season after season of doing some action-packed television that was a lot of fun to watch. I was sad to find out that, like, he was kind of did that last season, even though he didn't want to. Mm. And I feel like some of his acting, yeah, some of his acting choices reflected that.
Let me die.
Which was a little disappointing because as a huge Arrow fan, I was excited that we're going to get another season. But then I kind of felt bad about it if the main actor didn't want to do it. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So that's a little upsetting.
To talk about it seriously, and you're welcome to sit down now,
no.
Pete, if you want.
Here, here.
Yeah.
Cheers. I got to give it up.
Thanks.
Oh, thank captain, you. My captain.
Nice.
Yeah, so there was the seventh season of the show, which was pretty good.
Great season.
Right? And they wrapped everything up.
Mm-hmm.
He saved Star City.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Went to live with his lady love. They had a kid. They were raising the kid. Everything was great. They finished it off, and they're like, oh, but we got to do this Crisis on Infinite Earths thing. So he left at the end of the season. But it was done. Like, they finished the show. And then, to your point, they brought him back because money, because they wanted to tee up Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Which was a fun crossover.
I mean, agree to disagree. But they...
Fuck you, man.
Regardless, though, the first seven or so episodes were, again, really good. They were fun. They went through the history of the show. They walked you through episode by episode.
We got a great, like, last thing with all the different characters. We kind of got to revisit them all.
Right. And then one of my problems with Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is the same sort of problem with any comic book crossover, is it completely weirdly interrupted the flow of the season. So you had all of these episodes in the middle where... He died twice. He became the Spectre. They had an episode after Crisis on Infinite Earths where they had a backdoor pilot for a Green Arrow and the Canaries, which was very good. I enjoyed it. I would love to watch that show.
Me too.
But it was set at 2040, so it was like way in the future.
Is that when the series is going to premiere?
Yeah, something like that.
That's
confidence.
They're
working on it. They
That's
gotta,
confidence.
They got to train everybody how to be canaries first.
Yeah. Oh, it's trained canaries?
Right.
It's birds?
The backdoor pilot was a lot of... That was my canary voice.
Wow, that would sound like a dog.
Duck?
Dog?
Gotcha.
Either way. And then the last episode was a funeral and some side business and other things and wrapping things up, and it was fine.
It was still touching, very
I
nice emotional.
It was fine. But it's weird to have, like, your character has already died twice and is off-screen for most of the episode.
Yeah, but it was fun because we got a cool meme of, like, Flash... Like doing a peace sign next to his grave, which was kind of funny.
That was behind the scenes.
Yeah, but it was still got out there.
That's fine. They probably could have done that anyway without filming an entire episode.
It still happened. We got to see it.
It still happened.
Yeah.
And that's true of the entire run.
And I will say, to your point, to give what you were saying credit, even though you were probably still angry at us for interrupting you, that Arrow is to credit not just for DC's Legends of Tomorrow, but the entire modern slate of superhero shows. Whether you consider that a good thing or a bad thing, and certainly on this show, I think we would consider that a good thing, that they would not be happening without Arrow and the initial success of Arrow that has led not just to the CW shows, but the Marvel Netflix shows and all the other sundry shows. And I think even the second wave of those things like Umbrella Academy, for example, or Doom Patrol on the DCN that are responding to those shows. You can't have deconstructed superhero shows without having the superhero shows first. So even though Arrow was very straightforward, action-y, for the most part, it did lead to a ton of other jobs and a ton of other storytelling methods. And for that, it should be loved.
And also a lot of great crossover events, like the whole like Barry going to his world, he going to Barry's world. That was really
fun stuff.
Playing with the light and darkness of both of those shows. There was really a lot of great moments, a lot of fun events. And also what was nice was... The show evolved over the years. It wasn't the same thing all the time. Like, the character learned to trust more. It was really...
Yeah, sometimes he'd shoot people with arrows. Sometimes he'd shoot things with arrows.
Targets.
It was very different.
Well, thank you.
Fuck you.
Alex, you really are the star of Pete's Arrow Corner.
This is all making me realize what a absolute mark I am for Marvel, everything Marvel, because I'm so unfamiliar with all of this. But I think you guys are making the argument that it's sort of like, this is the Iron Man. Arrow is what sets everything... allows everything to happen, or you can make the argument Blade.
Sure.
Wow.
Nice. That really, like, is the thing that may not be absolutely perfect when you go back and look at it. It is very good, though, when you go back and watch it again.
Hell yeah, bro.
And it's the thing that allows for the rest of it all to sort of have precedent to point at, to green light. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important. And that's those weird outliers that allow for new things, regardless of the way they turn out.
Thank you, Bob.
Are important.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's really nice.
I definitely agree. I have a question for you, Pete. Can we talk about the last scene of the show?
Yeah.
So the end of the show, the very end of Arrow, and if you don't want to hear it, obviously earmuffs or anything, but the end of the show, Felicity
you can tell
Smoke.
He's a dad, because you said earmuffs.
What? You know what? I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't listen to this since I could always.
Oh,
go
you're going to start.
I can go back. Season one.
So the end of the show, Arrow has been dead, as we mentioned. His wife, Felicity Smoke, has lived on without him.
Her name is Felicity Smoke?
Hell yeah, yeah, it is.
Wow, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
She almost dated the Flash for a little bit.
No judgment.
Yeah.
Just surprised that her name is Smoke.
And I'll tell you what, seeing her with the Flash, I was kind of like, oh, they work better together.
Fuck you.
They have a good, they have a lot of good chemistry.
Nothing against the Iris West thing or anything like that, but Felicity has way more chemistry with Barry Allen than she does with Oliver Queen.
Fuck you.
So to that end, at the end, she made a deal with the Monitor to go visit him. Mm-hmm. We already saw her in the season 7 finale walk off with him into a portal. So we get to see where she goes. She goes to this portal, and the place that she goes is his old office, his mom's office, right?
Wait for this. This is touching.
Am I going to cry?
And yeah. He's there, and they're both dead, and it's the afterlife. And they're going to hang out in an office for eternity.
Well, that's what heaven is. It's a fucking sweet office.
Boom. A sweet office?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a weird ending to that show.
No, dude, don't start yet. First off, it was a really touching thing because she goes, why are we here? This is when we first met. And he chuckles, and we get the flashback. This is the first time he ever saw Felicity Smoke. And even though she's talking to a painting of him because she thinks he's dead, she calls him cute, and that's like his green light to go and be like, I think you're amazing.
So her reward for a lifetime of service to the world is being trapped in the moment he first thought she was cute.
Well, that's the origin story of them. Yeah, why wouldn't they live?
But
in
she
each
didn't
other's...
know about it.
I have a quick
Who
question.
Cares? She knows about it.
It's
now.
It's not important to her.
It will be once he tells
once
her.
Once he traps her there for all eternity.
Oh, my God. He's not in charge of heaven, you asshole.
I have a question. What about this office is so good?
Well, hang on a minute.
Have you ever been to an office and they don't charge you for sodies?
I go to an office pretty much every day.
Okay. Sure.
And there's seltzer there.
Yeah? Is it unlimited?
Technically, I guess.
Well, then welcome to heaven, bro.
I don't think it's so unbelievable. There's maybe... because I didn't see any of this. This is all out of context for me.
Sure.
But from what I'm gathering...
Oh, here we go.
There might be an apt metaphor here, you know, because as we know, as artists, as creators of content and performers in the fullness of time, that, you know, that doesn't always do it. That big premiere, that big opportunity, it doesn't change your life the way you think it does because nothing ever really does.
Wow.
So in the end... if you have chosen this life, you got to realize, well, the work is its own reward. That's as good
Holy
as the life
shit.
Is ever going to get.
Whoa.
And maybe that's that great. Is heaven.
And if you're a superhero like Arrow, the Green Arrow,
then
Oliver
you go to
Queen.
The superhero office and you punch your ass in.
Yeah, you get a hot Keurig.
And you get a hot Keurig.
Get a fresh Keurig, everyone's favorite coffee.
Yeah, and you solve... crimes, and if there aren't any, you make them up. You go you go out into heaven and you disrupt until there is enough crime, and then you solve it all.
Yeah. You create there crime you in heaven.
If you were going to be trapped somewhere for all eternity,
oh man,
heaven
against your will,
it would be heaven, definitely.
Yeah, well,
I would choose heaven.
But what would your heaven be? Where would it be? What location?
I would be
office. Got it. All right,
8 years old, and it's Chuck E. Cheese. All the tokens I can.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah,
that's
what
hell, buddy.
A nightmare.
No, man. When you were a kid, that's the best thing ever. Unlimited pizza, unlimited games, and a fucking
so
ball
you're
crawl.
8 year olds the entire time.
Let me just say, the cheese underneath the stage was where bullying happened,
or making out happened.
Well, we lived
Not
in a different
at
town.
Eight? Jesus Christ, Pete, you were molested.
Pete lost his virginity in the cheese at Chuck E. Cheese. Congrats, buddy. No wonder you want to go back there.
Yep.
You're like, cheese, pizza, cheese, fucking, cheese, video games. Dude loves cheese.
Where's your heaven there, hot stuff?
So, Chuck E. Cheese, yeah. I'm 15. I'm dressed in a mouse costume.
Oh, nice. You're the, one of the robots?
You're one of the animatronic robots?
Yeah, one of the animatronic robots.
Alex, one of the robots broke.
Every time?
You have to be one of the robots. It's the greatest acting
challenge. Welcome to our world.
I can barely move.
Comics.
What about you, Justin?
Right here with my guys.
Oh, boy.
Podcasting for all eternity. Covering all the comic book news in heaven.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Last episode of Arrow again.
I want to live in an endless Arrow corner. Forever not talking about Arrow is where I want to spend eternity.
So I've got, to that end, I've got bad news for you because this always happens. You don't remember beginning this segment, do you?
You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Do you remember the lead-in to what this segment is? Do you know how long we've been here?
We died in a gas leak.
I remember that. I remember you saying,
you
oh, it
always
smells
forget.
Weird.
Yeah.
And then all I remember is talking about Arrow.
That's right. Wow, yeah. We're in a...
all I remember for 15 years is talking about Arrow.
I know, and I'm...
15 years? It was on for 8 seasons.
I've been dead for a long time.
But it was rumored in the pages of Wizard Magazine long before that.
So hold on, I just want to establish the continuity here of this bit. So there is a gas leak. We've been here some amount of time. Mm-hmm. Pete died of the gas leak, clearly first. Years yeah. before
it was
us.
A separate gas leak.
First, I'm okay. first.
Okay. And Pete was talking about Arrow before it was a television
sure.
show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, sorry to hear that, bud.
Yeah. Our continuity, we just added a lot to our continuity.
A lot of
and
lore.
I'll tell you what, it's valuable.
Big lore build out.
And folks, that is all the time we have for Pete's yeah! Arrow Corner!
Final Pete's Arrow Corner.
And now it is time, I don't know if we have time for this, actually, because we talked about Arrow so much, but it's time for some audience questions!
Yeah!
These I saw Kevin's hand shoot up. What's going on?
Hello, my name is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, buddy. Hey, Kevin.
My favorite friend is Ted Knight.
Ah, there you go. Yes.
There you go, buddy.
Is that it? Did you unlock it?
No.
Did you unlock it?
No. That would be crazy.
Oh.
If that was the...
That would be a great...
So, actually, going back to that, what is a television show that's not a superhero or comic book one that you'd love to see a superhero version of?
Ooh, nice. A superhero version of a celebrated television show.
Sure.
That's good. That's a good one.
Oh, gosh. Or just
any sort of television show that you'd want to see upgraded into a superhero show.
Ooh, okay. I'm ready.
Good. What is it, Pete?
See, what they do is they do another 9 seasons of Arrow.
Oh, and this time stuff happens?
Yeah.
This time it's a superhero show?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Well, this is... I'm going to say something here, and if somebody just turns this into a TV show after I say it, then we'll all know where it came from.
Okay. Nice.
All right.
It's legally binding.
I want to see a version of Euphoria that takes place at Charles Xavier's School for the Gifted Youngsters.
Yes. Ooh. Like a X-Men.
Sex-Men.
Yeah. I love that idea. I think that's a great idea.
Or like sex education or like freaks and geeks.
Yes.
These sort of like...
Freaks and geeks, yeah.
Well, and that gets back to sort of what the X-Men was in originally, where it was like your body's changing, not what you think. It's changing into a superpower or a curse or whatever it is.
Right.
And that's sex education specifically is a...
Is that, and it's sort of like... sex education is cool because it deals with all of the disinformation that's out there about sex that kids have to wade through, and you could do that through X-Men. And I think the cool thing that Euphoria does is show just how nihilistic the worldview of the young generation happens to be at this current moment. And I think you could do a lot with that as... If you're like a youngster mutant, like, come on.
Mm.
If you're a black-pilled youngster mutant and you literally think there is no future,
Blackpilled. Holy
well,
shit.
Well, Sex Education is kind of like the New Mutants, and you.
I'm not sure if I'm using
like
that term right.
Yeah, I think it's blue or red pill, but I'm very curious what a black
pill
is.
I did this stupid thing of said, like, I heard something on a podcast and then I tried to use it just a different podcast. Blackpilled.
That's okay. Someone who was listening to this podcast and stopped right when you said it is going to now do say that.
I feel like, go ahead and at me. Go ahead and at me because I don't get it. But I think it's somebody that's just basically like, oh, the world's fucked. Like, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm not going to vote. I'm going to take a lot of painkillers and fuck it.
Yeah,
there's a whole deleted sequence in The Matrix where he's like, do you want the blue pill or the red pill? And Neo's like, what about that black pill?
He just goes back to the original rave.
No, don't worry about
he's
that.
He's got a rainbow of pills.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't take the black
pill. I have a blue pill and a red pill. And he's like, yeah, but that black pill looks interesting.
Yeah, but
like,
I'm just going to go back to probably that, better for me. I should take the green
pill.
Yeah,
what is that, like chlorophyll or what's going on?
Yeah.
He goes back to where he met Trinity, which is just like the all-night dance club, and he stays there for like 11 days.
Yeah.
11 days?
No sleep.
It's 11 days is so many days.
Yeah, he's like, this like, fucking cat is skipping.
That's like more than
sweet. Sweet
he's just like, view. Oh, man, the climate change is inevitable. I'm just going to drink lean and like take sleeping pills and try and stay awake.
Anyway, cool. To answer your question, we're all very excited for Matrix 4. All right, yeah. I see another nice question over here. Come on down. Super what is your name? What's your
super powered Frasier? Go ahead.
Interesting. I'm Pablo.
Hey, Pablo.
Hi, Pablo.
Nice.
Have any of you seen the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl.
Any of
ever,
them?
Or just this one?
I mean, this weekend. Yeah.
Yes, I skipped it. I had an Edge of the Empire game.
Nice.
Instead.
Wow.
Well, you seem stressed about that.
Okay.
Yeah, right. What were the commercials like in your game?
Yeah.
There was one for Senator Banks' re-election campaign.
Nice.
There's one, wow. Death Sticks ad that was only available to go out in certain systems.
You have one more. I did watch the Super Bowl.
I do have a question that leads into that.
Nice. Prime the pump.
What are your favorite commercials?
Favorite commercials.
Boom.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I love the "Where's the beef?" That's nice. My favorite commercial.
Oh, nice. Going on the way.
Where's the beef?
Yeah. Favorite commercials of this year's Super Bowl.
This year. Oh, this year's Super Bowl.
Bill Murray's Groundhog Day. That was just fun.
Great.
Bill Murray is magic. Absolute magic.
Great. Yeah, it was very fun. I mean. We talk the trailers for the new upcoming Marvel shows are very exciting.
It was great.
So that was great. WandaVision.
Baby Peanut. You didn't like the Baby Peanut one?
I look forward to the Marvel Cinematic Universe Baby Peanut show, but I.
So having not seen it, does the WandaVision thing look like it's going to be sourced mainly from the Vision limited series?
It looks exactly like that.
I disagree with Pete.
That's exciting.
I think it's actually not going to be sourced from that. I think it's more of a...
That would be a mistake.
I think it's more of a Wanda... Like, the Vision series is about the Vision sort of building that world. This is about Wanda building a world. I think she's dealing with the losses she suffered and is slowly losing her mind.
I think that's the advantage that a lot of maybe, like a lot of screenwriters maybe have on these, like, big properties where they can pick and choose all of the best story elements from the last. Because, like, it seems like this launch of new Marvel series comes from a time, or at least, like, the look and feel of a lot of these comes from a time where I was reading a lot of Marvel, where it was, like, the She-Hulk, Charles Soule, and then, like, Hawkeye with David Aja and Matt Fraction.
Yes.
And then, like, a lot of this great single character, like, almost risky stuff for Marvel at the time, and like that's where they're seeming to get some of this, but because you've already read that, it can't be exactly that.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't think they want to just do it like word for word,
right?
Birth of Baby Nut, as we all saw,
sure, let's talk about that.
I think it was odd that the Kool-Aid Man and Mr. Clean
would be
why? Showing up. Well, like, are they friends? Because Kool-Aid Man is inherently a mess maker, and Mr. Clean is inherently a
cleaner. Yeah, but they're famous commercial people.
No, but I'm saying just the characters themselves, like, would they be friends?
I'll tell you what. The thing that I loved about the Baby Nut commercial was the reaction to it, which clearly it came out like there was clear sourcing where they were like, people love baby versions of things. That was clearly the ad agency talked about that, right?
Yeah.
And I love that they were like, Groot came out with Baby Groot, and everybody was like, oh my God, I love Baby Groot.
Exactly.
Give me all the Baby Groot things now. And then Baby Yoda came out, and they're like, oh my God, I love Baby Yoda. Everybody, give me all the Baby Yoda things
exactly,
now.
Like Baby Hitler was like, I gotta kill Baby Hitler.
And then Baby Nut came out, and everybody's like, fuck you, you stupid pieces of shit.
Yeah.
How dare you?
What?
This is, you like Baby Nut?
Yeah.
No.
You did?
No, nobody likes Baby Nut.
What'd you like about Baby Nut?
What are you talking about? It's the most obvious. It's terrible.
Alex is adorable. Mad about it. You like it because it was cute?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't like
you.
That he spoke.
They got you.
I didn't like that he spoke dolphin voice.
It was weird. It was the whole thing was
very
weird.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable. And then they had the live can afterwards where they're like, make him do stuff. Did you see that? They posted it on Twitter. They're like, at request that I do stuff, and maybe I'll do it live on camera, which I was like, what the fuck?
This is live
A,
on camera.
Supposed to be a peanut, so stop sexualizing it. B, it's supposed to be a baby, so stop sexualizing it.
I don't think they were sexualizing.
To be fair, everybody immediately sexualized.
Yeah, but I think there's a leap that maybe
I'm just saying it's like Pete at Chuck E. Cheese back when he was 8 years old.
Oh man. Imagine if we got a baby Pete, though. That would be awesome.
Would he talk like a dolphin?
Huh? Yeah.
I was angry.
Angry Pete?
Well, there you go. Our favorite commercial is Baby Nut. Okay, we got another one more question over here. Name your question.
Hi, my name's Brandon. And first of all, my favorite character from Friends was the Incredible Hulk during the Peter David written seasons.
Wow.
And also, my question is, in the Mortal Kombat movie novelizations, so since those movies, 90% of it is the song Mortal Kombat. Right. So, is the line Mortal Kombat or the beat written in the novelization?
Yeah, wow. They actually have the full. Thank you for your question, by the way. Thank you so much.
So I guess the question is, did they write the music into the book?
Or was it like one of those greeting cards you could open and it plays the song?
Well, it was full staff notation of Mortal Kombat House 7-inch mix.
Ooh, wow.
Just
my favorite mix.
Completely tabbed out for 7 or 8, 9 pages, because there it's a small novelization, 9, 10 pages. And because it's, as we know, it's like kind of a house song, pretty repetitive.
Indeed.
You flip through that part pretty quick because it's essentially you're just looking at a pattern. And every once in a while, the name of the book you're reading appears. And so you just got to skip past it.
The thing with Mortal Kombat is it's dangerous. Because, obviously, we all know anyone can shout Mortal Kombat in a crowded room.
I've been waiting my whole life.
And then two people have to fight.
Yeah, I've been waiting my whole life for someone to yell Mortal Kombat when I'm somewhere.
Same with Surge.
That's right.
Yeah. You can do that, too.
I had a question, audience question.
Oh, here we go. What is this?
Okay. Which audience member are you going to ask?
This is, I'm trying to unlock the Starman quiz.
Oh, shit.
Oh, actually, hold that thought for a second because I have a real audience question. Hold on.
Well, you can still ask yours.
Yeah, why don't I ask it while you're running away? Okay, because it's just to Justin. I would like to open the Shades Journal.
Ooh, that's good.
Did I unlock it?
No, but I like where your head's at.
Oh.
I like where your head's
at. Were you trying to unlock the Starman quiz Pete, or was that something somebody sent
What's in? Starman? What are we talking about?
That unlocks it. What? No, I'm just kidding.
Is that?
No.
Oh, my God.
Starman's my favorite comic, and we do this thing on the show where, for some reason, there are quizzes hidden everywhere.
Secret quizzes.
Yeah. It's like if Jeopardy was like, oh, it's not just these questions, it's questions fucking everywhere.
Sure. And you have to unlock it with a phrase?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it
a certain phrase will unlock
it? A man waiting in
the sky.
That's
pretty good. Yeah. We are very rapidly running out of time here, but I did want to read this because we got this one over email from Corbin Gross. Says, hey guys, first off, I really want to say I appreciate all you do. And this was sent to comicbookclublive@gmail.com. So if anybody else wants to send us questions there, please do. I want to say I really appreciate all you do. You all are wonderful to listen to. I listen to all of your podcasts, even for shows that I have no intention of ever watching. If I had friends, I'd like to think they'd be a lot like you. Just teasing. I've been rereading Lock and Key with you guys recently, and I can't wait for the show. Anyway, here's the question. I quit buying single issues a few years ago, and I've kind of lost track of what's going on. I want to know what you think are the most fun ARC series trades collections from the last few years. They don't have to be the best written or the most goodest art or whatever, just the ones that were the most fun to read. There's also a bonus question that I'll get to in a second, but why don't we start with that? What are the...
We'll start there because we're going to go another hour, right? We're going another 60.
Yeah, we're going bonus.
Yeah.
60, 70, something like that. We'll see what happens. But real quick.
Best trades in the last couple of years are most fun.
I would have to go with Paper Girls, and then I'm going to go with Why the Last Man really blew my lid off.
Nice. That's great. I'm going to say from recently, really a lot of fun to read Ice Cream Man, the first trade
it's
of
more
that.
Recent.
Was more recent, yeah.
I don't know if this is, I'm completely losing track of time, but Superior Foes of Spider-Man was relatively recent, right?
It was like four years ago.
Was it really?
You fucking piece of shit. I think it's been a while.
Well, that was so much fun.
Nick Spencer's been doing Spider-Man for multiple years.
Sure, there we go. That was super fun if you like a villain book. Bob, do you have any recommendations?
I started reading Monstrous.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Holy shit.
Very good.
What? Where that book? I've read so many books, and I don't want to name any books, but they're sort of like described this way when you first started reading them. And Monstrous is the first book I read where I'm like, this is it.
Wow. Yeah, definitely check that out. Now, here is the bonus question. I want to give a little bit of setup for this and just couch it to the fact that there's people here in the theater. This is an audio podcast, so I'm about to talk about something, but we'll put it up on our Twitter feed at Comic Book Live so people can see it.
Okay.
A little bit of context here. I don't know if you guys remember, we used to do a preacher podcast.
We did.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we did a preacher podcast.
I didn't know you guys did a religious podcast.
I like where this is going.
We did a preacher podcast for a couple of years. Where it was all about the show Preacher. We recapped each episode.
And everything we said on that show was stone cold fact.
No, that's not true.
It's every single segment.
And so this kind of ties into the bonus question that Corbin has here. Again, I'll post this online for people to see. He says, I have one bonus question also. If I scratch Pete's belly, will he love me forever? # Poodle Pete image attached. And I'm just gonna pass this image over.
Don't pass this over to me.
Oh my God, that is great. That is truly
that
great.
Is a picture.
And you can check this out on our Twitter feed, as Alex said. And to be fair, it is Pete. As the human sexual dog that was a main character on the Preacher Men. And there's the phrase, Pete's catchphrase. Maybe we'll get him to read it in a sec. That says, "Give me some chicky wings." And that is your catchphrase, right?
Yeah. No. Could you say that real quick?
Just say the words.
Give me some chicky wigs.
No.
Let me be honest. Honestly, the blending of Pete's goatee with this poodle fur is legit.
I have to say, it's kind
good.
Of amazing.
This photoshopping, or is this an actual photo? I don't know. We'll never know. But that's a beautiful
photo.
I'll
just pass this over to Bob. Yep. Here's the picture of Pete as a human sexual poodle.
Oh, good.
I've never heard Pete say, give me some chicky wings, but I can believe that you would say it.
That was the thing. When I saw this picture, I was like, I don't think he ever said that on the podcast, but... No. It tracks.
You do like chicken wings.
You got to be impressed by that Photoshop. He blended your beard with the poodle's fur.
Even if he didn't, though, now that I'm making comics, I can kind of say this sort of thing. But sometimes when you finish an image, the words that you originally captioned it with, they don't work anymore. And something else just... calls to you and says, these are the new words.
Yeah. Right.
These are the words.
Yeah, like I look at that human sexual dog and I'm like, give me some chicky wings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I
think. I almost just said it.
Yeah, you did say it.
Oh, I did say it.
It's mesmerizing, right?
The power of this image compels me to say it.
That is truly very well done.
Yeah, I'm just going to show the audience. Do you guys want to see this? Should I just run around and show you guys?
Yeah, walk around and
show you guys. Like images? Do you guys like JPEGs?
Here we go. This is the picture of Pete as a poodle. There you go. Pete is a poodle. A lot of
nodding heads in
the crowd.
Yeah,
everybody's in agreement here.
I was like, yep.
There you go.
Checks out.
Ooh, Bruce Valanche. Bruce Valanche. Yeah, it looks a little bit like Bruce Valanche.
It does. Is Bruce Valanche a human sexual poodle?
Pete, I mean,
maybe. I'm just turning to you because you seem to know about these.
He gave that life up a long time ago.
Okay, but just to get back to the question, if he scratches your belly, will you love him forever?
Nope.
Oh, man. Wow. Pete, we talked about Arrow for our conservatively, I want to say, 5 years just now. Give this guy an answer.
No.
Just no?
No.
I feel like now it's time for our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to hashtag Pete the Poodle.
Yeah. Pete LePage.
Pete, by the way, just somehow killed me with his eyes.
Yeah.
With his
There's
eyes.
Been a murder out here.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free?
Nice.
Anyone. Can raise right. their hand.
He just raised his hand.
All right. I'm just, you know, there's a new guy in the back. Maybe he wanted $25.
I
want to
see what would happen.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to see it first. I get it.
All right. So cautious. I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours.
Okay.
Remind everybody what your name is again.
Brandon Medina.
Brandon. Audience. Brandon. All right. Here we go. Today's trivia is on topical comic news. Question number one. What is the name of the fighting style comic / manual being released about Star Trek's Captain Kirk? Is it A, Kirk Fu, B, Spock Jitsu, or C, Sam Neill? So it's either A or you could pick B.
I'm going to guess A, Kirk
A
Fu?
Is correct. They're coming out with a manual dedicated to Kirk's Kung Fu style in the TV show called Kirk Fu. Excuse me, guys. Sorry, I got to get that.
That
Don't
is
worry. Not
that
named
is.
After star of Event Horizon.
But I'm going to pick this up. I want to learn Kirk Fu. Cool. Question number two. Who is writing next month's DC comic called Leviathan Dawn, number one? Mm-hmm. Is it A, Jim Lee, B, Brian Michael Bendis, or C, Oliver Platt? So it's either A or it's B.
I'm going to say B for B.B. Bendis.
That is correct,
not
sir.
Not is not the star of Lake Placid, Oliver
no.
Platt.
Nope. No, well done. Here we go. Last question. 2020 marks the 25th anniversary of what comic book character? Is it A, Witchblade, B, Tomb Raider, or is it C, Angela Landis? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could not get this gift card right here.
I'm going to say A.
A is correct.
Nice.
Witchblade, 25 years.
Awesome.
Amazing. Now, there's a sub-quiz in your quiz. Mm-hmm. Third answers add up to a Robin Williams movie. What are the answers, Pete?
Sam Neill.
Yep.
Oliver Platt.
Yep.
Angela Landis.
Angela Landis. Who
Not
is
Lansbury?
That?
That is correct.
Okay. Anybody know what movie this is? Pete, want to give a clue?
Is this a home video?
It's Robin Williams plays kind of a robot type character.
Death to Smoochie?
Nope.
Bicentennial Man.
Nice.
Man.
The famous Angela Landis.
It's a famous Italian neorealist film. The Bicycle Man.
Yes. I love that one. I do want to mention, just on the sub-note about that wonderful picture that was sent to us, I wrote Corbin back and said, this is, without exaggeration, the most amazing picture I've ever seen. Is it okay to share on our social channels? And Corbin said, I'm absolutely flattered to death. Yeah, please share it. I was afraid you guys already had... Sorry. I was afraid you guys already had stacks of Pete dogs.
I wish. I want to change my answer about heaven. It's more of those photos.
It's just living the rest of eternity surrounded by stacks and stacks of Pete dogs.
Pete dog. He does not like this at all.
He doesn't like
so
this.
So you know what? We're going to move on.
But honestly, Pete
move
is
on to the next segment,
dog.
The stack of Pete dogs.
Pete's a very bad dog.
Listen.
Bad dog.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to two comics, Lois Lane number 8 and Martian Manhunter number 12 of 12.
Wrapping up the series.
Yeah. Wow. I was really impressed with what Orlando did on Martian Manhunter. I'm excited to see how it ends.
There you go. Justin, what about you?
I'm looking forward to Birthright number 41. I've ever talked about this series before. It is the premise of the series is that a kid wanders off in the woods when he is just a boy. He goes to a
world. Could happen to anybody.
Could have happened to anybody. Could happen to you. Could happen to me. Not Alex, maybe.
No,
didn't grow up in the woods.
I grew up in the woods, so I know my way around.
Wow, what an adventurous boy.
What's that, a tree? I'll go that way.
Nice, smart. That's a very big scouting thing. Go toward the trees. That's what they say. A kid wanders off in the woods. He travels to a fantastical world where he is the chosen one. He becomes a Conan-like figure and then comes back to Earth to save the day. Turns out he's been taken by the bad guy
and is
working for him. It's a very fun series. It's getting to the penultimate chapter. Very exciting.
And we will have a review of that in our Stack podcast, which goes up Wednesday, 9 a.m. in its own feed, as well as the Comic Book Club feed. Another one that we're going to be reviewing that I'm looking forward to is Star Wars Darth Vader. Number one is coming out from Marvel Comics from Greg Pak, who we always like on the show. And the Darth Vader books have been consistently very good.
Very good.
So that should be a lot of fun. Bob, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
I would love it if people were to check out one of my original comics, Sled or Die, Creatives, or Saga of Thane, which are all available through my big cartel.
One of person you've worked with in the past, Becky Cloonan, we review a book of hers in our Stack podcast as well that comes out tomorrow.
Dark Agnes, number one.
Yes.
Dark Agnes, yes, exactly. How did you guys, did it fare well in the review?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
You'll just have to tune in.
You'll just have to tune in.
But they told you.
I'm going to subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, and wherever I get my podcasts so that I can hear the positive reviews. I would also add to that, there is, speaking of Becky Cloonan, Mystery School Comics Group, which publishes my adventure zine that I co-authored with Becky and Michael and a ton of my friends from my hometown. So if you check out Mystery School, you can also find our cool D&D collaboration.
That's what I was setting up.
Thank you so much for
doing
that.
And that's a great book.
Yeah, it's very good. Definitely check that out.
For sure.
All right, before we go, a couple of things to plug on our end. We have a bunch more podcasts that you can check out. Riverdale After Dark is our Riverdale podcast. That is every Wednesday after the show. Also, Katie Keencast. Our Katie Keen podcast is launching this week.
Which we're doing.
Yeah, we're definitely doing it. We've all prepped for it properly and are ready to go.
Is there a Katie Keen TV show?
We're ready to do it.
We're ready to do it. Any moment.
It's a show for the people like us, older men. So that's
good night, folks.
Also, Lock and Key Unlocked, or Lock and Key podcast. Definitely check that one out. If you check out, Bob's dead now. If you check out the actual feed, not only do we have recaps of the books going into recaps of the Netflix series, but we have some special chats with Gabriel Rodriguez, Chris Ryle, the editor. We also have a throwback show with Joe Hill you can listen to. So definitely check all of that out. I think that's all the podcasts we're doing right now.
So many, if not all of them.
We're going to be rebooting Preacher Man, which is very exciting as we start getting in stacks of Pete Dog picks.
Nope.
Got those Pete Dogs. Give me those Pete Dogs.
Hey, Pete Dog, anything you want to plug?
I'm not going to respond to that.
Oh, man. Check us out on Facebook for all the amazing guests that we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. As Bob mentioned, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. Please do comment on iTunes. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Bob for being on the show.
Yay!
Boothman Prime!
Boothman Prime!
But most of all, we want to thank you all. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Good night, guys. As always, delete this sound.
and they let the secrets leak. An occasion of the